You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know, but after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a grandmother expects a loved one to follow through on what was discussed on a phone call, only to later learn that the person she was talking to was not who she thought. That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com and support our program by becoming an extra podcast person, an EPP. You sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, 300 some of those to binge away on with brand new ones every single week. You also get advanced episodes of our show ad-free weeks before they're released to the public. You get our ebook, our audiobook, all sorts of extras. You can get in on getting 1 month free, too, if you sign up for an annual membership there. It's at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jen joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you ready for some ghost stories?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's jump right into it here today. It starts out, I was in sixth grade during the story. I don't really know what this is, but I'm sure it's not normal. I woke up at 2 a.m. to a shrieking noise coming from a nearby church. The noise was so loud and it sounded almost robotic. I was terrified. I did not get scared a lot. I heard it every night, the sound getting closer and closer to my bedroom window. It was so loud, my window shook. My mom had a window sensor so that whenever the window shakes or opens, it sends an alert to her phone. She told me the next day that she got 32 alerts between the time of 2 a.m. and 3 a.m., and the noises started to get quieter and quieter throughout the next few days. 1 month later, my best friend were walking home when we both heard the noise coming from a bush behind us. I looked at the bush and I saw what looked like the outline of a person curled up inside the bush. We were terrified and ran the rest of the way home. We never took that way home again. The next day in school, I heard a pattern of three taps, then silence. Three taps, pause, and then three more taps. My friend explained to me at lunch that he heard a strange tapping noise. A couple of hours later, the school was over. We were talking and going on home when I saw the outline of a man's leg stretched out from the bottom floor as if his top half was near my window. My window was 9 feet away from the ground. He seemed like he was camouflaged. His body matched the siding of my house. I turned to my friend and told him that we need to run. We ran over to an empty patch inside a thick forest. We waited there for 15 minutes before we returned. I walked up my twisty driveway as my friend gasped. I looked over to see him frozen, staring at the trees. I followed his gaze to see the tall man, now disguised as tree bark. I watched him get into the house next to mine. Once he went inside, I went inside as well. It left me alone for like 6 months. I heard it again and texted my mom. Then I found out that my sister started experiencing the same thing as well. My sister's a heavy sleeper, so I was shocked when my sister walked down the stairs at 3 a.m. She got a bowl of cereal and started eating it. I asked her what she was doing up this early, and she looked at me and said, "The tall man was watching me sleep again." She then got up and walked back upstairs, leaving her cereal on the table. I talked to her the next day, but she didn't remember anything. I do not sleep in my bedroom anymore because it seems to shriek at my window. My friends think it has something to do with our town. I have a lot of other small stories about our town, but most of these happened much later.
Well, I need to know what's going on with the town before I can really figure out what's going on with the half man ghost and the tall man that watches the sister. I mean, that's kind of key to figuring this out.
Yeah, there'd be more information needed. Obviously, it sounds like something is happening, but there's no way we can say here's what we think it is, or that's what, you know, maybe, or compare it to anything without more context. So if you'd like to share more about what's going on with the town, please write back in and we'll do that story on another episode of the show. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next one says, my grandmother's first house she bought in Chicago was haunted for sure. My grandmother was home alone and she was doing the family's laundry. She'd been going to the basement and then walking through the house to go up to the second floor of her bungalow-style house. She heard noises and voices in the house before, but that was about it. Nothing physical. Today was different, though. She was going back down the stairs to the main living room. She felt two hands push her from behind on her lower back. As she fell, she landed down a couple of stairs and dropped the laundry bin. She said as she fell, she saw her slippers continuing to run down the stairs as if something was still wearing them. She says the hands felt like those of a small child. She says that before and after that day, she'd hear children's voices coming from upstairs where the bedrooms were, and which sounded like balls bouncing. On another day, when all of us grandchildren were over, we decided to play hide and seek. My cousin Tony, who was about 6 years older than me at the time, was the only one that hid upstairs, and after only hiding for a few minutes, we heard him screaming from one of the closets. My grandmother got him out and was consoling him when we came out of our hiding places. He told us that someone was breathing hot breath in his ear while he was hiding, and he felt something grab his shoulder downward. My grandma told us that we were not allowed to play that game in the house because it was the devil's game, and to leave it alone. We never played that game again. And another morning, my grandmother was in the kitchen cooking and chatting with her friend in the kitchen when the phone rang. She answered, and it was my uncle, who was about 19 at the time and living at home. She yelled up the stairs to him, telling him his friend was on the line. This was in the early 80s, before cell phones. She heard my uncle yell back, "I'm coming!" So she left the phone off the hook at the bottom of the stairs for him. After about 20 minutes of cooking and more chatting, my uncle realized my uncle never came back down. My grandmother realized my uncle never came back down, and the person had hung up waiting. She went upstairs to his room to see what the heck he was talking to him so long. When she walked in to talk to him, she realized he was not there. There was no one upstairs in any of the bedrooms. When my uncle came back home later that evening, she asked him why he left so late for work and why he did not want to take the phone call that afternoon. He was confused and told her he was at work since early that morning. My uncle was the only boy in the house, so whoever spoke to my grandma mimicked the voice and tone of my uncle. My grandma never told anyone of these stories until she had moved out of that house because she did not want to scare us while she lived there. This mimicking ghost also scared my grandmother on a different day. My grandfather would always park his car in the garage and come home from work through the back door of the house. She could always hear the garage door slam shut and him whistling as he walked through the back door and that door slam. She was usually cooking dinner or washing dishes around that time, so he'd come up behind her as she greeted him without turning around, and he would give her a little love tap on her behind and greet her back. So this evening was no different. She heard the garage door slam, his footsteps in, and the whistling. She heard him come into the room and approach while she greeted him with her back towards him. She braced herself because she was anticipating his little love tap, but he did not move. It was like he just stopped walking and was standing there behind her. She turned around to see there he was not there at all. The doors were still closed and locked, and my grandpa's car was not in the garage. She said she still felt like something was there with her and watching her. She started playing and asked whatever was there to please leave. They stayed in that house for about 7 years, and eventually it sold. I've not been able to look up the history of the house to see if anyone or children died in it. I only know that it was built in the 1920s. She has a lot more stories about what happened in that house, so I'll write back with a few more. I love this podcast. I turn all my friends into listeners. Keep up the great work.
It sounds like there's a mimic in the house.
What is a mimic? How would you define that?
It's just the doppelganger of just the voice.
Okay. So it's very much, if it could appear, it would appear in its physical form, but because it can't, it just does the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's... What do you think that is like a conscious, like a human earthbound entity that's on the other side, or is it something else that is able to have powers like that?
That I don't know. And I also used to think that it was residual, but then you would find there was multiple different instances of mimics within a household mimicking different voices at different times. So It wasn't like just every random, you know, few weeks you would hear the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
You know, like you'd hear mom calling you for dinner or something like that. It would be conscious. But as far as its origination, I don't know.
And it's interesting because sometimes there seems to be like a will with it, with what it wants someone to do. And sometimes it's just completely pointless. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, why are you saying that?
Yeah.
When there's will to it, it's like, oh, okay, then, you know, it makes a little more sense. When there's not, it's just, why, what is this? Why is it doing that? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that, you know, we would have an answer for that. But thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
So what I want to share with you guys now is my childhood house. I remember the first day we actually moved in, my mom and my stepdad, they never really even told us that we were moving. I just kind of said, get in the car and I'm going to go for a surprise. And they took us to this house. And we're walking around looking. And I remember I was young. I was six. I was six because I had went into kindergarten at the new school about mid-year. And I remember going in there and seeing everything, and it looked so new and fresh, and everything was fine, you know. And for the next couple years, 2-3 years, till I was about 8, right around when I started to see that lady, that's when, like, things started to happen. I remember it started with footsteps. At first, we would hear footsteps throughout the house on the ceiling, and it actually sounded like it was moving. You can actually follow it. I remember following it from the room, hearing the footsteps walking in circles, and then I remember you could hear it make its way towards, you know, the other side of the house. And I remember if I would follow it, and we would all do this, you know. But for some reason, it never happened when my stepdad was there. But we could follow it all the way to the laundry room. We could literally follow it. And, we would, being young and scared, we didn't want to, but my mom and, as you know, we're all there, she would peek into the attic and see if anyone was there. Another time that it was happening, my mom told us to run outside. This was all during the day too. She told us to run outside and look at the roof. It was a one-story house. So I went to the front. My brother went to the back of the house to look on the roof and see if somebody was walking around. But nobody was there, and there was still walking going on inside. My mom and my sister were inside. So we knew it wasn't somebody walking on the roof. And you would hear sometimes what sounded like a loud bang in the attic and dragging. It sounded like something was being dragged. Anyways, that was normal. That was normal as far as the walking on the roof or the ceiling, whatever it was. And things just kind of started to progress. And then we would start to hear voices. I would hear my brother's, my mom's voice. So me and my brother, we'd be sitting there playing the game. My sister was sitting there reading her book. And we would hear our names get called. We hear, Richard, Jesse, come here now. I mean, just like that, loud. And it sounded just like my mom. You know, so I remember looking back at my sister and me and my brother kind of thinking we were in trouble. My sister's sitting there with a smirk on her face. And she liked to see us get in trouble. So anyways, me and my brother got up, went to the room. Mind you, where we heard it right where we were at. My mom was all the way in her room, which was kind of on the other side of the house. Anyway, so we go anyways, and we, you know, go to my mom. She's sitting there reading her book too. And we're like, "What, Mom?" She's like, "I didn't call you." And we're like, "Mom, yes, you did. You called us. You know, we both heard you." And she's like, "I did not call you guys. What do you guys want?" You know, we were telling her, "Mom," we were pleading with her, telling her, "Yes, you called us. You called us." When we were nagging at her so much that, you know, she would get mad. She's like, you know, she would just tell us to go, you know. So anyways, that would happen a lot. So my mom even heard it a few times. One time she had went to go get groceries, came back. We were all at school. She goes in the house, starts putting the groceries away, and she hears down the hallway in one of the rooms, you know, "Mom." And she said it sounded like my brother. And she's like, "What?" Nothing. So she just kept putting stuff away. And then as she was putting stuff away, it kind of started to register, like, wait, no. She's like, you know, he's supposed to be in school. And she hears it again, you know, "Mom." And that's when she was like, "Okay. You know what?" You know, she says, "What, Richard?" And, you know, at that point, it had clicked, you know, he's supposed to be at school. And then she said that she heard it right next to her. When she heard it right next to her, she literally left everything right there and walked outside and waited for my stepdad to get there. But that was like stuff that would happen a lot. We had a lot of people that would come and stay with us, you know, it was family, relatives who either were just getting here from Mexico, you know, starting to build their life, they would come and stay with us. But every single family that went in there, they were, they all experienced something, and multiple families there had to, mind you, there are families, but I mean, you know, intermediate family, I guess, they would stay, and every single, like, majority of them would experience stuff, and they would end up leaving because of it. Countless things, man. The faucets. So a lot of times too, the washer would turn on, the dishwasher would turn on. Now those, you know, you can say electrical, you know, some type of electrical surge or something, you know, but along with that, the faucet would turn on. And this would all happen, you know, right in front of us. And, you know, we didn't know what it was. We knew something was up, but it was kind of just something that we lived with. We've had pastors come to the house and, to, you know, bless the house to see, you know, maybe that would help. There were times where my mom, you know, her and my stepdad, they would, you know, get in an argument, and my mom would go to the back living room, and, you know, this was the 90s. Anyway, she would go to the back living room because we had two different living rooms. She'd go to the back one and sit there and smoke. For some reason, my mom didn't mind the dark. And so she was sitting there in the dark, you know, just kind of smoking her cigarette, and she heard walking from the door. From the outside, from the door that goes to the outside, walking, you know, towards her. And she just was completely, you know, thrown off. She was just kind of looking. And as it was getting closer, she immediately reached over and turned on the light, and she didn't see anybody there. And that was like, I don't know if she took it as a sign or what, but she went back and, you know, earned my stepdad and made amends. But it was always too, you know, in the middle of the night, as I said, you know, it was always like either pitch black or sometimes you'd have a little bit of the moonlight coming in. But it was like always like a shadow. It always felt like there was like a shadowy figure always present there. You know, maybe mind playing tricks on you. I don't know. But it always seemed like there was some type of shadowy figure there. (Clears throat) What else? I mean, my one of the families that came in, they had these little toy cars, like, you know, little ones that you kind of put together yourself, and you have them up like for display. And the mom, she was in her room. She noticed that the car was moving back and forth. She thought that was weird, you know, so she got a little scared and went out and told my mom about it. My mom went back in there and just to look. And, but I mean, you know, a car's not going to go back and forth. Just can understand one way, but there were lots of other situations, you know, I'd have to think them through to remember them. But, oh, there were also times, so it was two times where they actually, I don't know, I guess you can call them spirits, ghosts, whatever. They made themselves look like my tía, which is my aunt. I guess that's for another story. But I'll leave these voicemails, you know, hopefully frequently as I remember. But yeah, well, thank you guys for your time.
There was so much in his call that I think the thing that struck me the most was the hearing a bang and then what sounded like something being dragged on the floor above them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's almost like somebody got killed and that's why they're hearing footsteps up above. I don't know. But that was one of the things that kind of stood out to me the most.
When you have something like that, I mean, that sounds like the moment of the, you know, the crime or the murder that took place. That would likely be some sort of residual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's just kind of replaying itself and redoing whatever happened there because of the drama of it. Do those things, is it? It's an opinion question, I guess. I don't know if there's any statistics on it, but when they replay, is it being replayed at the time of the event? You know, I wonder what triggers those sort of things to happen, to be replayed? You know, there's got to be something that is making that, you know, that energy, you know, press play and somehow exhibit itself again.
I don't know. And I think it depends. I mean, we've had a story a long time ago that I remember where they would have something happen in the bathroom the same time every year. It was like the same day, same mm-hmm. time every year. And it was, I don't even remember what the incident was, but I just remember it was like clockwork.
And that's what I wonder about. I mean, because sometimes it seems like, oh, this makes sense. It's on the anniversary of that date and it's playing back at that date. But sometimes it's not that at all.
Right.
You know, it's almost like, you know, you can have like a toy or something that, you know, replays the same sound or something. And even if there's no battery in the toy, sometimes that little bit of juice that may be there, if there's like a static shock or something, it gives it just enough to mm-hmm. play for a second.
Right.
You know, and it's not that it's doing it on any sort of timetable of, well, the last time we played, it was on the 6th of June of the last year. And now the static shock could happen at any time. You know, mm-hmm. is there something that triggers it in the environment or with the people, or is it more calculated? I guess if it's more calculated, you almost have to think there's something more behind it beyond just residual.
Maybe it's just, it feels like when it happened, you know, how like sometimes when you walk outside in the fall.
Yeah.
And if it's muggy enough, it feels like spring or it smells like spring or sure. vice versa. You know, it maybe it's just something about the atmospheric conditions or the environment makes it feel like the moment that happened.
Like that's what triggers it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the familiarity of it. And somehow this all just kind of works back into that same atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that that's a valid argument. It's just one of those things that, obviously, we don't have answers to any of these things, but it's all the questions that we end up pondering when we hear, you know, stories like that. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to get a a chance to finally share some of the stuff that has happened to me. I love listening to all the stories and everyone's occurrences and everything. So, you know, it really helps me get through my day and gives me something to look for. My name is Jen from Gerald. And in my life, there's only been like tiny little weird things that have happened to kind of make me think, wait, was that something? What was that, you know? Mostly with me, it's like the little light up lights and things like, you know, for Halloween, we're about the same age, so you probably remember Halloween and Christmas, they would have those little pins that you could wear and you like twist it and the little lights would glitter and glow. So I used to have some of those and they would just light up on their own, like without twisting or moving. We had one of the old cell phone batteries that you could take off, you know, that had the sparkling lights and it would glow. And that thing was dead for at least a year. And I opened the drawer one day and it was just going off all by itself. So mostly those, but there are two specific times in my life where I feel like there was something a little more going on. The first one, when I was younger, we did have a bunk bed. So now's the time to ring the bell. I was always on the top bunk. And I remember at several times where I would wake up and there would be like my dolls crawling up the side from like the bottom up over the bunk bed. You know, my mom told me later on in life that I was just having night terrors. Like I'd always have nightmares or whatever. So I kind of brushed it off like, oh, it's nothing. But last year at a family reunion, we were having my youngest sister who slept on the bottom of the bunk bed. We were all just being silly, talking to my aunts, telling ghost stories. And she actually told me the same thing, that her dolls would crawl over the bed to her, like she was on the bottom, so crawling up to her. And we had never spoken about this. I never brought it up to anyone other than my mother. And so hearing her say that really freaked me out, because I was like, wait, was there more to it? So that was the first one that I'm like, okay, maybe there was something going on in that house. And then the second time, I was much older. It's probably been about 10 years. We were living in North Carolina, renting a house. And I loved it there. But at the time, my husband was away and I was working nights. So on my off nights, it was possible that you would still be called in. So I would have to stay up all night and sleep in the day while he was gone. And one night I'm just sitting in the living room watching TV, you know, just trying to stay awake. And there was a wall behind the TV that was kind of a shared wall between the living room and another bedroom. And I had gotten in the habit of making sure every single window was closed, every single door was closed. I was uncomfortable going in one particular room, the corner bedroom. So I had made it a habit of closing everything and then sleeping on the couch in the living room. So this night I was on the couch, but awake watching TV. And it was sometime after midnight for sure. And the floors were wood. So all of a sudden I hear what the only thing I could equate it to is like someone, like a man climbing in a window and falling to the ground. Like that's how big and heavy the sound was. And so instantly I'm just frozen because I'm like, great, someone's in the house. And so I quietly go through, you have to go through the kitchen and then it turns into like this other doorway and that's door to the room. And so I'm sitting there holding the door knob and I get a knife and I'm like, okay, do I need to do this or am I going to call? And I thought, okay, I'm going to check it out. So I quietly open the door and there's nothing. The window's fine. There's no broken anything. Nobody's in the room. We had still, we were still early in moving in. So there was like a bookshelf in the middle of the room because that's just where we put it. But that was it. There was the bookshelf in the room. Nothing had fallen. Nothing had moved. I went through the whole house. Everything was the way I left it. So I was like, okay, this is weird. And then that was kind of the end of it. It wasn't until we had moved out. Oh, and we had noticed when we first moved in, since it was wood flooring, in that same room, there was like a stain in the, there was a closet, like a kind of a long closet, but it had those folding doors to open. And you could see this kind of roundish, huge, darker stain where the closet was. So we didn't really think anything of it. But it wasn't until after we were moving out that my husband was talking to one of the neighbors, and he said that someone had actually been kidnapped and murdered in the house. Like, that was the rumor. And I'm like, wait. This, I had known, I did not know anything about this until we were literally packing our stuff into the car moving. And so to me, I feel like maybe that was like a residual noise of someone dropping the body into the closet or something, because that would make sense. Like, you're putting someone, it's just creepy just thinking about. But so that's the closest I've come so far to something super creepy. I have yet to actually see anything or hear other things, you know, like a lot of the other people. But so, yeah, that's what happened to me. And I'm just excited to get to share it. And I hope everyone, you know, likes it and gets the same enjoyment that I get listening to their stories. So thank you again. And I hope everybody's doing great. Thank you so much. Bye.
You know, there was a lot of similarities between this story and the last one. I, as far as hearing a thud and mm-hmm. knowing that there was a history. I mean, she had been told that somebody had been kidnapped and murdered in that house. So yeah. That's not something that the last story had, but she had that thud, which was, again, a residual. And it's just residual of death, I guess, is what our theme is for the day.
Yeah. And when you have that, I mean, if it's not actively, you know, doing other things, I mean, I totally understand how creepy that is. I mean, is there any way to resolve a residual? You know, you hear about stories of people, you know, like, you know, moving things to the light or moving things on or whatever you want to, you know, call it. When you got something like that, that's residual. Is there any reasoning with it? I mean, I would assume not. But is there a way to, you know, to banish that from happening in your house, because it's rather uncomfortable to hear those sounds over and over and over?
I don't think so, because a residual is not conscious.
It's just there.
Yeah, it's just there.
Would you have to, like, would it still go on? Do you think it's like ethereal, meaning it's just there, whether you knock that building down or not, that energy is going to keep replaying itself in the same spot if those four walls are there or not, or if those four walls are gone and the atmosphere as to which that took place was removed, would it still repeat itself?
That I don't know.
That'd be the interesting thing, mm-hmm. you know, because you still, you hear about residual hauntings in structures where the original building's gone and there's a new structure there. It's like, well, why is that thing hovering like midway through the level of the room?
Well, is it like a, you know, apparition spirit that is bound by the walls that were mm-hmm. there when it was alive? Is a residual tied to a space?
I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Is it tied to the atmosphere, the earth, mm-hmm. or is it tied to those walls?
I don't know.
And the atmosphere as to which it's contained in. That's kind of the question. I don't know that we have the answer, but thank you for sharing that story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to support the program and keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.